let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In My Enemy, Myself, Overcoming Your Self-Defeating Mind, Dr. C. Franklin Truin presents a clear picture of how one self-concept determines the course and quality of an individual's existence. The book provides a structured means for self-examination for problems emanating from a negative self-concept, offering constructive direction for changing the course and quality of one's life. Dr. Truin is a clinical psychologist who has been in the field of mental health for almost 50 years. He's been in private practice, clinical practice for 40 years, taught at several universities, authored articles in clinical psychology and interpersonal relations, consulted with numerous public and private sector organizations throughout the United States. Currently, he is a practicing clinician in St. Simons, Brunswick, Georgia. He's authored two books that focus on what mental health is instead of what it isn't. Meta Values, Universal Principles for a Sane World, looks globally to examine the state of mankind's mistaken and destructive beliefs and values. C. Franklin Truin, doctor, author of My Enemy, Myself, Overcoming Your Self-Defeating Mind, is our guest on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, sir.
And before we get started, happy birthday to you. A special day today. Happy birthday.
Yes, it is.
Delighted you're spending some time with us today to talk about this book. And the time is going to go by so quickly as I'm going through the book and the notes. There are so many interesting things to talk about it, Let's begin with, what do you mean when you talk about psychological quality? What does that mean?
Well, it's a combination of several things. And the big picture is, it's living life well and being able to fulfill your needs as a human being. And that begins, of course, with your perception of yourself, whether you value yourself, whether you have a positive relation with yourself, or whether you have a negative relationship with yourself.
A fascinating topic, and I mentioned self-concept in the beginning. What's the scope of the negative self-concept problem? How widespread is it? Who is at risk? And what can we do if we want to change that concept?
The short answer is everybody's at risk. There are no hard and fast statistics, but it's generally accepted that more than half of all people have a negative self-concept, which adversely affects them in some way, depending on the degree of their impairment. So it's quite a widespread problem.
It's a rather frightening statistic, isn't it, when you think about it? And I'm sure you've seen this in your practice for almost 50 years.
Yes, you know, I've worked in the field for, I hesitate to say 50 years, but I've helped a lot of people, and almost without exception, what's at the base of a clinically defined mental illness is a poor self-concept.
What exactly is self-concept? I'm thinking about that. Are we talking ego, or what are we talking about specifically?
No, I'm not Freudian. Although there's some relationship to my theories. I've developed my theories myself over the years based on what works. And self-concept, the essential definition of self-concept is what you believe to be true about you as a person. And only you know that.
How long does it take for us to know that, to realize that?
Well, unfortunately, some people never know it.
Yes.
Your self-concept is formed very early in life, essentially during the first 6 years of life. And depending on the valence of that self-concept, you're either aware of it or you're not. If it's good, if your self-concept is good, then you're connected to it and you're nourished by it. And that allows you to begin to develop in the appropriate way psychologically. However, if you have a bad self-concept, there's a reason for it. And the primary reason is poor parenting or caregiving.
So it's interesting. I was going to ask you how it's formed. Obviously formed at an early age, consciously, subconsciously, by our parents. Another reason to be good parents, because we're giving them concept issues, self-concept issues they may never deal with during the course of a lifetime.
Right. It happens so early in life that the individual is not aware of it at all. It's just part of developing. The first 18 months of life, an infant doesn't experience itself as a separate entity from those who interact with it. So everything that a caregiver does or doesn't do is incorporated as me, as self. So if the primary caregiving isn't nourishing, isn't healthy, or if it's neglectful or abusive, then that has an adverse effect on the formation of the self-concept.
With us on This Week in America is C. Franklin Truin, PhD. His book is My Enemy, Myself, Overcoming Your Self-Defeating Mind. The book's available at Amazon at his website, which is cftruin.com. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, link on directly and get all of that information. Talk about these concept problems can begin in early childhood. Talk about those. What are some of what happens in early childhood that can cause someone to have self-concept problems that could stay with them their entire lives?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said before, it's the quality of the interactions with the primary caregivers that forms the psychological basis for the self-concept. And the child, of course, is unaware of this. The child self I refer to in my book and everywhere else is the primitive self. This is the self that's formed during the first 6 years of life. If that self-concept, if that primitive self is formed in a healthy way, then that lays the foundation for the further psychological development in healthful ways. And it lays the foundation, for example, for a healthy surface self. It's what you present to other people.
Yes.
The surface self becomes a reflection of that healthy self. However, if you are forming a negative self-concept, that surface self also reflects what that primitive self wants everybody to see and wants you to see, while it, at the same time, you are shut off from it. And here's why it happens. Up until the age of six or so, a child isn't aware of how it feels about itself. It just behaves. You know, if you see a five-year-old is one minute they're Superman and the next minute they're a hovel of tears. They don't hide their feelings. They just are their feelings. However, around 6 years old, an individual suddenly becomes aware of themselves and aware of how they feel. And so a child, you imagine a child 6 years old, has a choice right there. If they don't feel good about themselves, what do they do about it? Well, they can't go to their caregivers and ask, because that's the source of the problem.
Exactly.
And so the only choice they have psychologically is to cut off from the awareness of that negative self and develop a surface self to survive that communicates with the outside world. The problem with that is it limits or halts further psychological development. And that's the base of a lot of problems. People actually don't finish growing up psychologically. And by the way, the average psychological age of an adult is 16 years.
Boy, that's incredible. So they basically hit the teen years, get their driver's license, and emotional, what do you say, emotionally, psychologically, it stops at that point.
Well, it's the average. So
yes.
Many people stop before that. I've seen people who are emotionally, psychologically, functionally 6 to 8 years old, even though they're adults. And they have developed, by the way, people still develop physically, of course. They still can develop intellectually. But in the psychological domain, they don't. They essentially have to learn to fake it with their surface self.
The book and the title I love because it basically condenses what we're talking about in the program today, My Enemy, Myself, Overcoming Your Self-Defeating Mind. C. Franklin Truin, PhD, our guest on the program. So once you get into adulthood, the chronological adulthood, I won't say psychological, but chronological adulthood, what happens at that point if you have a poor sense of self? What is the impact on our lives?
Well, it depends on your core beliefs. Now, there's some dominant themes in negative core beliefs. For example, if I have a negative self-concept, I'm probably not going to place as much value in myself as I do everybody else. I'm not going to value my own opinion. I'm going to have to find out from everybody else how to do things. I'm not going to trust myself. I'm not going to have faith in myself. I'm going to make mistakes in life. I'm going to not bring to the table in relationships what I need to bring. I'm going to cause problems for myself. And the thing about the psychological domain, as you grow through the years, if you're not healthy, if you're impaired, it's going to get worse as life compounds. It's not going to, you know, not going to level off to a subclinical level and be okay forever. You're going to have problems, and they're going to increase with age.
How do we avoid that? What is the process like, and what can people do to change one's self-concept from a negative situation in most circumstances to a positive one? And we've only got a few minutes left, so this is really unfair to ask you this question. But
well,
What process do we go through?
This is why I wrote the book, because I know that this is a pervasive problem everywhere, but people don't know it. Whatever self they formed, that's their reality. And they believe that everybody is like them. They don't know what they don't know. And so the book is a way for them to evaluate their self-concept in a more objective way. And hopefully, if they need help, to get some help for it. Because most people cannot help themselves. They do need some help and guidance.
For that reason, and all that you've talked about on the program, how this is a widespread problem with dealing with self-concept, the book is so important. My Enemy, Myself, Overcoming Your Self-Defeating Mind, C. Franklin Truin, PhD, the author, guest on the program. If you're Googling, that's T-R-U-A-N. I'll give you information on the book as we get closer to wrapping up today. In the book, you talk about reality, reasoning, and responsibility. Talk about their relationship to the meta values that you write about in this book and your other books that I mentioned in the introduction. Reality, reasoning, responsibility, and how that ties into meta values.
Okay, I consider these kind of the basic principles of life, is that you have to know reality and accept reality. And most importantly, the reality about who you are and who you want to be. Okay?
Yes.
Now, the only way to identify truth is through reasoned thinking. Man is unique in the sense that he's given the ability to learn to reason, but most people don't. They're guided by their emotions instead of by their mind's ability to reason and identify truth. So that's a big change that someone has to make in order to be healthy. They have to take positive, reasoned control of their mind. And quite frankly, most people don't do that very well, particularly when they're under stress. If they do it when it's normal, everything's fine, they lose it when they're put under stress.
And you do such a nice job in the book of laying this all out for us and guiding us through the process that you talked about. My Enemy, Myself, Overcoming Your Self-Defeating Mind, C. Franklin Truin, our guest on the program, PhD. Let's talk a little bit about your practice over the years and coming up with this. You've seen the results when people follow what you talk about in the book. What's that like, and what results do you see when people do change that self-concept, maybe thinking there was nothing wrong with them in the first place, and now they realize I'm a better person than I was before?
Well, after 50 years, I'm pretty good at pointing out to people what's wrong with them. And I'm pretty good at helping them, too. I've helped a lot of people.
Yes.
The prerequisite is that someone owns that they have a problem, and then that they actually want help with that problem, and then that they do the work. The two criterion for people is they have to have the desire to change who they are, and they have to have the ability to do it. And that depends on their level of impairment, how far they can move.
There are a number of self-help books out there. What do you feel as the author makes this book unique and so beneficial and has been doing, has had remarkable success in turning, basically turning around lives? What makes My Enemy Myself different than some of the others?
Well, number one is I'm willing to tell people what mental health is, not what it isn't, which is not usual in my profession. And in the book, tells people what's wrong and makes an attempt to tell them how to change it. Most self-help books will tell you what's wrong with you. They'll tell you how you ought to behave, what you ought to be able to do, and what functional people do, but they don't tell you how to do it. And yes. I do.
What is that process like? In a couple minutes left, and again, I'm asking a question that requires more than 90 seconds for an answer, but how difficult is that process of getting there? Because you're giving us that bridge to get there. Like you say, unlike others, that here's where you want to be and you can sort of see it off in the distance, you're going to show us how to get there. How difficult, how long does that take if you follow everything and do things properly before you really start to feel and sense a change?
Well, as I said earlier, it depends on your degree of impairment. Okay. You know, what I have to see when I work with people is whether they have, how much of a positive cell structure they have underneath. Because the more positive cell structure that's there, the more there's something to build on. If they don't have much of a positive cell structure, they're in big trouble because there's nothing, there's not a firm foundation to build on. As far as how long it takes, it depends on how hard you work, your degree of impairment, and how determined you are to change who you are to something better, and to experience what I call psychological quality. A lot of people need it. I wish more people realized it.
What are, I'm putting you on the spot here. What are some of the signs if somebody is listening going, I thought I was okay, I thought my self-concept was okay, what are some of the warning lights that not so fast? Maybe there is an issue there.
Well, I could name 50 of them. For example, they're at odds with themselves internally. They're divided. They have a hard time making decisions. They don't trust their own judgment. They don't like who they are. They keep failing at relationships. There's tons of symptoms. The book is full of them, by the way, that identify them. Yes. And allow you to pick yourself out and say, this is me, this is me, this is me. And if that doesn't convince you that you need to take a look at yourself and quit blaming the world for what's wrong with you in your life, then nothing's going to help you.
That's why this book is so important. It's My Enemy, Myself, Overcoming Your Self-Defeating Mind by C. Franklin Truan. That's T-R-U-A-N, Ph.D. Book is available at Amazon at the doctor's website, which is cftruan.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly. And I'll ask you, you're working with Reader's Magnet and getting this very important book out and into the hands of the public and helping people, which is your mission in life, to be able to help and make people's lives better. What's it been like working with Reader's Magnet in this project?
Well, it's been a very enjoyable experience. I think they've really been helpful in responding to my needs of wanting to publicize my book and get it out there. And they've provided a lot of good feedback and a lot of direction, and I appreciate it.
Well, I guess it's like everything else. You need direction, and that's what you're doing. That's what you do in your professional life. That's what you're doing with the book, My Enemy, Myself, Overcoming Your Self-Defeating Mind by C. Franklin Truan, our guest on today's program. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I guess from your standpoint, that's good because you got time for birthday cake before the rest of the day is over. So you can blow out the candles, dig into the cake today, and enjoy the special day. Doctor, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
And I thank you, sir.
It has been a pleasure. My Enemy, Myself, Overcoming Your Self-Defeating Mind, C. Franklin Truan, Ph.D., the author and our guest. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.